All right, we are going to continue our media availability here at Pocono Raceway with the driver of the number 88 Nationwide Chevrolet for Hendrick Motorsports, Alex Bowman. Alex, you've had a good couple of weeks coming off a top 10 finish at Charlotte. Now we're kind of midway through the regular season. It's your first full season with Hendrick. How would you kind of assess where you're at personally, and then how do you kind of balance that out with how the team's improving, you know, getting their arms around the new Chevy Camaro?
Yeah, it's definitely we've had some ups and downs. We've been quite a bit off of how we expect and want to be running. So last week was a hard-fought ninth-place finish, but missed out on a lot of stage points. And, it's better than a bad finish, but still a little frustrating. So we're working really hard. We've got a lot of really smart people trying to get all four of our cars better. But it's no secret we're off of where we want to be. So it's been a little frustrating, but we're not terrible in the points right now, and it's a dream come true to just be driving for Hendrick Motorsports. So I really can't complain too much.
All right, we'll open things up to the floor here. We'll start with Zach.
Zach Sternio, Low Pocono Record. Alex, this is your first time in a Cup car at Pocono since 2015. How much are you looking forward to practice, or at least getting on track at some point this weekend? Are there any nerves to shake off?
I wouldn't say there are any nerves. This is one of my favorite places, so I'm really excited about it. It's so unique. All three ends are different. You have to shift. It's just it's a fun place as a race car driver. You're not just kind of limited to what your car is doing, and it's a lot of fun, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Go to Jeff next.
Oh, man, you're not at an IndyCar race this week. Heck yeah.
I came back.
Good to see you.
Me too. Where do you weigh in on the debate over the rules package? The All-Star rules package seemed to be popular with fans, but it seems easier to drive. Would you like to see that again going forward?
Yeah, I have pretty mixed views on it. There's my view as a race car driver, and then there's my view as a member of the sport. You know, I think for the fans, the racing was great. There's no denying that. It was a great race, and the fans are why we're here and why we're allowed to get paid to be a race car driver. So from that side of things, I loved it. I think it worked very well. I think the fact that NASCAR is always trying to make the racing better is very good. You could always tweak it and see how it works and see how it works at different racetracks. As a race car driver, it's pretty easy to drive, and we're the premier stock car series in the world, so obviously you would like it to be a little more difficult to drive, and you don't want to just go everywhere and be wide open. But I still managed to crash it all by myself, so I can't really say it was too easy. I think really you have to look at what's best for the sport, and making the race fans happy is what's best for not only me, but everybody in this room, you know? So, I think it was a great race and something that definitely has to be looked at for the future.
We'll go to John next.
Over here. John Haverland, ESPN Albuquerque. Did you watch either Monaco or Indy or both at all from last weekend?
Yeah, I watched both. It was really cool. Monaco was, obviously, I feel like we had the best race of the day, which was good. Monaco was interesting with some of the strategy stuff. Indy I was hoping guys were going to stay out and at least try to stretch it instead of pit with four to go. But, it was three very unique different races, and it was cool to be a race fan for the first two-thirds of the day and then go to work that night.
I'll go to RJ in the back.
Hey, Alex. RJ Kraft, NASCAR.com. Given Dale Jr.'s success here, have you picked his brain at all about some of the keys to getting around here?
Yeah, he's a little busy being a dad right now, so I'm trying to leave him alone. This is probably one of my top three favorite racetracks we go to, so I really enjoy it. I think I've got great teammates to lean on as well, and obviously Dale has a lot going on in his life. I try to let him be as much as I can.
You seem to take a little bit of issue at the 600 with how some of your teammates were racing you. Have you ironed some of that out with them?
Yeah, I think it's easy to get frustrated with things. I mean, we're race car drivers, and you're locked inside a race car for 4.5 hours, and everything you say, every single word you say gets recorded. So it's easy to be a little more frustrated than you should be. I think there are definitely some situations where we could all help each other out a little more than we do. I don't know. Hopefully it'll get better. It's hard to say, but I think I was probably a little more frustrated than I should have been.
I'll go to Jerry next and then Jeff.
Jerry Jordan, KickingTheTires.net, Performance Racing Network. We're halfway through the regular season. You've been with other teams, and I've kind of asked you this in the past. How has the adjustment been for where you're at right now with really good equipment underneath you, and where do you think your trajectory takes you?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're only going to get better. You know, we definitely started the year off of where we want to be, but it's been so much fun to be a part of Hendrick Motorsports, get to lean on Jimmy Johnson every weekend, and just be a part of such a great organization. It's so much different than anything I've ever been a part of before. The day-to-day operation is so much different. Definitely a lot busier. They keep me all over the place. Yesterday I went to Columbus in the morning, went to Nationwide Children's Hospital, and then went to the Memorial Golf Tournament yesterday afternoon, then flew back to Charlotte, and then flew here. So they keep me as busy as they can, but it's a dream come true to be working with such great people, and hopefully we're going to start getting better and contending for some wins and winning some races, because that's what they hired me for. Yeah, I mean, I haven't had one feel like what I want so far this year, because we haven't won yet, but you know, we've gotten better. The balance of the cars have gotten better. The speed, we've been off. I think the 48 last weekend was very promising. We weren't terrible either. So, you know, we're continuing to improve. I don't think I'm going to have one that I like until we win, but we're getting closer.
We'll go to Jeff.
So somebody came on your radio and told you to shut up last week. What was your reaction like when you first heard that, and did it actually cost you spots on the track?
No, so I think that was the last run of the day, which was our best run. So that was good. It didn't mess with me too much. I had that dial-up thing, that sound came on like 3 or 4 times, and I was like, whatever that is, like, we need to knock it out. And then like 5 laps later, all I heard was like static and mumbling. So I didn't decipher like, hey, shut up from it. So I didn't really know. And Greg's like, well, it's obviously a race fan somewhere, so let's just switch radios. So we went to channel 2 and didn't have any more issues, but it's definitely interesting. It's kind of common for it to happen at Charlotte. It's happened to Dale quite a few times in the past, I guess. So hopefully we can try to avoid that this weekend and not have anybody yelling at me over the radio that's not supposed to be yelling at me. I guess when they played it on Race Hub was the first time like I was able to actually read it. They had their sound was way better than mine was, so it was definitely interesting to see that. It's probably because I told them to shut up first, pretty much with the dial tone thing. So yeah, it's unique. We're still kind of in the Stone Ages with some analog radios, and all you gotta do is get a frequency and you can talk to us, which we could eliminate that pretty easily. But for some reason, we still have analog radios.
Up here to the front.
Scott Walsh from the Scranton Times Tribune. Alex, can you just talk a little bit about, obviously there had to be some pressure taking over the ride for, you know, in the 88 for Dale, just how you've kind of handled that, you know, so far this season, what maybe some of those, you know, some of those pressures were, or, you know, some of the things you've had to go through?
Yeah, I think honestly, there's not a lot of pressure in the fact that it's Dale's old car. It's the 88 car. The pressure for me comes from the fact that it's a Hendrick Motorsports car. Hendrick Motorsports is known for winning races and winning championships, and that's what I'm expected to do. I think most of my pressure comes from myself and the fact that I just want to win races and prove that I can do it. So for me, there's a lot of 88 fans, obviously, and my job is to give them something to cheer for. I don't feel like we've done a very good job of that this year. You know, we've had hints of brilliance and hints of being able to run up front, but we haven't consistently given them something to really cheer for every weekend. So we know we need to get better, and I think that'll come with wins. But there's not a lot of pressure from the Dale side of things. It's just pressure because I want to win.
All right. Any more questions here on the floor? Go right here.
Bob from the local Fox affiliate. Following up on Scott's question, do you feel like the fans have embraced you driving the 88, or you think they're just kind of waiting to see how you do?
You know, I think some have and some haven't. Everybody's different. Super thankful for the Junior Nation fans that stuck around with the 88 car. I think if we go win some races, a lot more of them will cheer. So that's kind of what I'm focused on. I'm not too worried about it either way. Just thankful for that those that have stuck around and hopefully make new fans every week.
All right. Any more questions here on the floor? Go to Zach.
You touched on it earlier that the 48 car was showing some speed last week at Charlotte. Is that encouraging for the rest of Hendrick Motorsports, seeing that there was a little bit more consistency in the cars? It seemed like you, Chase, and Jimmy were all running top 10 for most of that race, which is kind of unusual from what we've seen for the rest of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the 88's shown hints of brilliance. The 9's had a couple good races. The 48's had some good races. So whenever one of us has a good race, there's at least those notes that we can take for the next time we go there. Obviously, we don't go to the Charlotte Oval again this year, but we can apply that to the other intermediate tracks, look at what they thought their strong suits were and weak points were, and share all that information. You know, Hendrick Motorsports does a really good job at sharing information and working together throughout different meetings, competition meetings, and I feel like all four of us drivers talk quite a bit as far as what we're feeling in our race cars. So I think it's just more notes for the notebook on what worked and what didn't work, and what worked well for them, what worked better for them than the other three cars. So it's definitely good.
All right. Any more questions? Can't see. Good evening.
Dave Smith from T102 Radio in Pottsville. Can you talk about the turns here at Pocono? What's your favorite turn and your least favorite?
I don't really have a least favorite or a favorite, I guess. I think my favorite's going to be whichever end my race car is the best, and my least favorite's going to be whichever end the race car is the worst. So it's definitely a compromise between the three ends, and we just got to find the right balance to put together overall lap time.
All right. Anything? Got one more question for Alex. Nope. All right, Alex. Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys.